Log Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
All right. It is what it is. Welcome back, y'all. This is Collective Minds Radio. This is your host, Brother Kev, with my other host, Love Lachey. Oh, I'm sorry, Rigel Starr. And Rob, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Uh-oh.
I went back in the archives.
Yeah,
on the
you
plane,
went.
My
yeah,
bad.
You went. Yeah, I'm new. I'm new.
My bad. That's what's up. That's what's up. So, yeah, we back, y'all. We collected minds, hopefully, you know, to share some good conversation with the family and talk about a few things that's been going on. You know, before we get started, as usual, y'all got any announcements to make?
Well, I like to give out an announcement to all the fathers out there. The great dads, happy Father's Day to you too, and all the other fathers that may be listening. I'm so grateful and thankful that I know a lot of good men, a lot of good fathers. And I know some that's not bad. I mean, that's not doing what they're supposed to as well. I know they're out there. I know some of them. But the ones that's close to me, my brothers, I'm glad that I don't have to experience brothers and people that's close to me, close males, that's not, you know, good fathers and good role models. So I appreciate you guys. And, you know, and all the other fathers. So that's it. Just happy Father's Day to everybody. Oh, one other thing, too. Did you guys hear about the United States and, I guess, the immigrants? They taking the children from the parents and stuff at the border?
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, now that is crazy. They say there's more than 1,000 kids been separated from their families.
Yeah.
And they've been putting them up in these, I guess, detention centers or places.
Yeah,
they're
trying to prevent them from wanting to come over. I guess they're trying to deter them from wanting to come over. But I just think that's
cold.
So, wait a minute.
That
you talking about the ones that was here already? You talking about the ones that are immigrants that are here already or ones that's coming over? What'd you explain it to me?
From my understanding, this is the ones that's coming over, but I don't know if they're
the ones
that's
coming
that's
over
here or not. Yeah,
it's
and
the ones
and
that
they separating them from their kids.
Yeah, yep. They taking the kids away from the parents, and I don't understand that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we got to look into it. We got to look into it the harder.
Yeah. I heard about that. It's I don't know if the mainstream news talking about it a lot, but that's kind of, you know, that's major because this has never happened. And as far as immigration is concerned, you know, you separating the kids from the parents, like, what are you trying to accomplish, really? Like,
right, exactly.
You know, if you
want to
send them back, just send them back. Like, why are you separating them from their family? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is very unnecessary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is very unnecessary.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely have to look into that some more. We might have to look into that and try to talk about that next week. That's
a good
topic.
Yeah,
that's a
good
topic.
You got any announcements, Brother Mufasa?
Yeah, I got some announcements. I want to say to all the, you know, my NOI family and Islam family, who just came out of Ramadan, you know, Ramadan Mubarak. Congratulations on making it through Ramadan and also celebrating today, or starting to celebrate this month I lost my thoughts, y'all. of prayer. This next month is a month of prayer. And so we had a big feast today to kick that off. So that's why I'm sluggish right now, because I ate so good, y'all. Oh, man. I'm stuffed. So, we're celebrating the month of prayer coming up. And so
better
everybody
than the
just
Holy
keep your
Land.
Faith. Yeah. Yeah, boy.
I have another
just keep
now.
Your faith up. Keep your faith up. Keep on pushing. Keep practicing to do what's right. And well, one more thing, Raj, I'm going to pass it over to you. The other announcement I wanted to throw out there was this is also we're celebrating Juneteenth. So happy Juneteenth to my fellow soldiers out there. If you don't know what Juneteenth is, that's black people celebrated the slaves having their own Independence Day. You know, once the slaves had to free themselves, basically. You know,
Right. Check our archives about that last year around this time. We did a show on it, so check the archives.
Mm-hmm. This commemorates the June 19th announcement of the abolition of slavery in the United States. So, yeah, look into that, y'all. And, you know, let's celebrate Juneteenth. Let's just continue to work hard to be a strong black family, y'all. And know that we all going to have our differences, but, hey, we all family. So let's support each other in what we're doing.
That's right. That's right. Roger Starr.
Yeah, I was just going to give another special shout-out to all the Geminis, especially the ones going on June 6th. Shout-out.
indeed. Shout-out to the Geminis.
This is the Gemini
twins.
Season.
The twin
Everybody
killers.
Feel it in the air.
Yeah. You know, hey, I can't say I ain't feeling it. My mother Gemini too. So, shout out to the Gemini.
Yeah. That's what's up. And just for me, you know, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And I got this quick Father's Day story. I went to get my oil changed today. And the brother was like, hey, he was like, happy Father's Day. And he was like, what you doing? You going to see your kids? And I'm like, see my kids. I'm like, my kids live with me. Like, it was just funny that he assumed that I didn't live with my kids, which I figured, you know, that's a problem. But for me, you know, I just couldn't imagine not seeing my kids every day. I mean, I just couldn't imagine. So, by any means necessary, fathers, you know, you got to be there for your kids. You know, even if, you know, you and the mom's not seeing eye to eye or whatever, I think it's incumbent for somebody to be the bigger person, at least for the sake of the kids, and try to, you know, be involved in the kids' life and see them as much as possible. Because it ain't always got to be monetary things or buying them stuff and all this and that. You just need to be that presence, you know, that's in their life. So, and like Roger said, I know a lot of good fathers. I don't really know any deadbeats myself, you know, and I pride myself on that, because if you're hanging with a deadbeat, you know, you should be checking them and letting them know what's good as far as, you know, seeing their kids and all that. So, you know, that's just my quick soapbox on Father's Day. But shout out to all the fathers doing, you know, what they're supposed to do, what they've been doing. And, you know, just being responsible man, you know what I'm saying? So that's what's up. So, yeah, we all get into the show. It's been, you know, a lot going on. We talked about it was a couple murders in St. Louis, one murder in particular that made national news. And maybe Brother Mufasa could tell the listeners about that particular murder if, you know, that particular situation, if those that haven't heard about it. Because I think you was familiar with or kind of knew a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell the family what happened for those that don't know?
Yeah, well, among the other shootings and killings that we've had going on the past week, because, you know, this is St. Louis, if you didn't know, that's what we broadcasting from, St. Louis, and we acting like we still in the Wild Wild West out here. So among the other shootings, I had a particular, my heart go out to a friend of mine. Her granddaughter was killed in an attempted carjacking. My daughter was 28 years old. She moved in, her name was Portia Owens. And, she moved into a house about about a week prior. She had only been in the neighborhood for about a week. And she had a nice car. And she had a Challenger sitting on, you know, I think like some 24s. And, you know, that's unfortunately that attract a lot of scum who can't buy their own stuff. So they want to take from other people. So Portia was coming out of her home with her three children in the morning around 7:30 a.m. And she was ambushed by this cool individual, this young man who was 18 years old. He basically ambushed her, asked her for her keys and her purse and everything. She put up a little bit of a struggle over the keys, but she eventually did give him what he asked for. And he still shot her. He shot her twice. He shot twice, hit her once in the chest, shot her and killed her right in front of her children. He was unsuccessful in taking the car, so he just ran off with her purse. It only took about 2 days, and the individual was captured. You know, so that brings some closure to it, but it's still a hard thing for the family to deal with and the loved ones of the family to deal with, because this young lady was working hard. She wasn't, you know, out in the streets. She had a good job. She was taking care of her kids, had just got her home, and she was just trying to enjoy life. And for some fool to come and cut her down like that over a car is senseless. But like I say, it's been several other murders that's happened even around that, you know, this same time this week. But that one's it's kind of close to home, because I know the young lady's grandmother. So
that touched a lot of people. It made national news, like the whole city was talking about. It's just one of them things where, you know, the energy kind of changed and everybody talking about it, and it was a very unfortunate event. And I think it made a lot of news for, you know, a few reasons. But, I mean, it was a female. She was leaving her home in the morning. It's not like she was in a random neighborhood or doing something. You know, she's just leaving her home. She got, you know, trying to get her kids in the car, trying to just do normal stuff, start your day, you know, head to work, drop the kids off, whatever, you know, people do. And this young guy just, who knows what he was on, what was going on, but he decides to try to carjack her and kill her over a car. Like, I don't, like, this is just blows my mind, because, you know, we killing people over a vehicle. You see what I'm saying? Like, I just, it's hard for me to fathom that type of mindset to where, you know, people are doing stupid, doing things like that, you know, and that just, you know, like I said, it just blows my mind, that type of mindset, how low some of us have sunk in. You know what I'm saying? Like, where you go kill somebody over a vehicle, a mother, a female. Like, it was a time when female children and old people, you know, the elderly were off limits. Like, even if you are living a life of crime, it was just certain rules and certain, you know, codes and boundaries you didn't cross. And a mother of three, you know, I thought was one of them, you know, so.
Yeah.
It was a very unfortunate
he stalked her. And so, I mean, just how cruel and heartless this young man was. I mean, he basically stalked her. She only had been in the neighborhood for, like I said, a week. He stalked her. But, then, you know, it goes back to also we was talking about this being Father's Day and the importance of fathers being in the homes with their children. You know,
Facts.
A breakdown of the family structure plays a big role into some of this bad behavior that these kids are doing.
Right.
So, fathers, when you have a child, you got to step up and be in those kids' lives. You know, when you have a child, you got to turn your life around, even if you may not be doing right for yourself.
When you bring
a life into this world, you should want to say, hey, let me get myself together so I could try to mentor and mold my kids. I mean, nobody's going to be perfect, but we have to try to stay in these kids' lives and show them right from wrong, you know, and steer them in the right directions so they don't be doing stuff like this. You know, like I said, even being at the mines today, and I see, a lot of grown men that, you know, man, came from single parents, didn't have a father in their life, and went through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all praise God that they had a father figure in Elijah Muhammad or Louis Farrakhan to teach them the right direction, to show them right from wrong. So shout out also to not just the good biological fathers, but the good father figures that can mentor and mold children who ain't even theirs. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact. That's a fact.
So yeah, we got to do better with these kids.
Yeah, the young guy, he was what, 18 or something like that? 18. He wasn't even 20?
18 years old.
Yeah, so he's 18. Yeah, he's probably a done deal from this point, because once you get up in that system, you know, it's pretty much a wrap, you know. So
yeah, he'll be sitting for a minute.
Yeah, he'll be sitting for a minute. So hopefully the brother can learn from this. Hopefully he's remorseful. But, you know, at the same time, you still got to pay. And like you say, at a young age of 18, there's no way he should be thinking about stealing a car or carjacking somebody to get a car. You know what I'm saying? That should be the furthest thing from his mind. In a perfect society, this man should probably be preparing for life after high school, you know, trade school, college, mm-hmm. whatever, going to workforce, mm-hmm. whatever. You know, he should be preparing for something like that. Instead, he's out on a carjack.
I'm a robber, say.
A robber, you know?
And if somebody would have even put in his mind the common sense of, like, I mean, say you get away with this car, you can't keep it.
Exactly.
All you could do is the bare minimum, joyride in it, you know, for a little bit. Take a few things off, take the rims off, set them. So for a couple hundred dollars, you jeopardizing your life.
It ain't worth it.
But not only did you take away this young lady's life, and I mean, she can't, it ain't no coming back. You know,
ain't no coming back from that.
She's gone. You know, her kids gotta grow without her. You destroyed her family. And not only did you destroy her family, but you destroyed your own family. It's people that love you and your own family that now gotta sit up and come see you in jail, gotta support you. You know, because even though you done wrong, I'm sure that you got family that still care about you and love you, even though you did a stupid, devilish deed. But now they gotta support you while you're in prison.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's a domino effect of all the lives that's affected. It's not, you know, it's a domino effect. And like you say, the crazy part was the 80-year-old kid has to live with that trauma for the rest of his life. You know, mm-hmm. who knows what type of assistance or help he may need growing up watching his mother bleed to death, basically, you know, right in front of his eyes. So that's going to affect him. And, you know, if he don't get the necessary help, who knows what type of, you know, effect this could have on him, you know, so.
Yeah. You know, like you say, man, I can't. You know, what would you to run up on a woman, first off, but then you see she got her children with her. It's like,
exactly.
Even if you would have ran out and saw the kids, you could have been like, well, you know, this ain't the time. I'm just gonna go ahead and run on off. See, she got her kids with her. You know, you just heartless. So
yeah,
I can't feel sorry for you.
Nah. Mm-hmm. Nah. Only thing that would give me a little bit is his age. But even that, I feel like, you know, he should know better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he should know better.
You know, he should definitely know better. So, Roger Starr, chime in. How do you feel about this particular situation and the homicides we got going on in St. Louis? But before you do that, I want to put out this one stat, too, because I've been just doing the research on the murder. So far this year in St. Louis, in the city proper, in just St. Louis City, we have 71 murders. In the total of surrounding areas, that's including St. Louis County and the city, we have about 121 murders. this year. So with that, we probably on pace to do about 240 for the year. Now, just in, you know, just some basic research, it looks like in 1979, no, I'm sorry, the most murders recorded so far in St. Louis was 1970, when it was 309 homicides in 1970. Mm-hmm. 309.
Man,
yep, and then 1981, it was 265 homicides. Okay, 1981. 1991, it was 260. 1993, it was 267. And since 93, it has been on the decline since. And one of the lowest years was 2003, when it was only 74 murders. And then they started to climb back up. And now where we at is going from, like, if we start at 2014, it was 159. Then 2015, it was 188. And then 2016, it was 188 as well. So it looks like it's getting back up. You know what I mean? It looks like the murders are starting to climb back up.
I wonder what was going on in the 70s. That's surprising. I would have just knew that the 90s would have been the worst. I was like, what's going on in 1970?
In the 70 was 309 murders. So I think we're talking about, you know, the end of Vietnam, people coming home, you got heroin, you got different type of street drugs like that may have played an effect in that. I'm guessing, like, I don't know, you know, that's just, I guess. But, so it looks like they are going back up. However, they are down, you know, since 1993.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just wanted to put that out there just for some stats. But Elijah Starr, what do you make of all this madness we got going on?
Well, I feel a lot like, you know, what you guys both had touched base on. In addition, you know, I think some of the things that we need to really consider, and like we had talked about before, is changing. We have to change our mentality. You know, it's a tragic thing for anybody to get, you know, murdered and killed. You know, she definitely didn't deserve it. However, I do think that the car, the things like that unfortunately your boy Tommy was talking about, are just harsh realities. Those are the things that we have talked about our change anyway. It's our mentality, you know. It's an overall sad thing. You know, we taking, you know, how we just take death in our own hands. It's like, I don't know why people just don't understand how to just shift their mentality. You know, everything is not about material things, and that goes for both parties. And if we're going to just talk specifically about the Portia Owens situation, that goes for her and the guy. You know, not saying she works, so when you work, you're supposed to be able to get the things that you want, you know. But we do have to have a certain mentality. I'm just not a fan of Tommy Sotomayor, but I understood some of the things that he was trying to point out in regards to the situation. I just feel like, you know, our mentality at some point just going to have to change. If not, we're going to always have these types of discussions and issues and situations within our community, because we have to do better. You know, we have to change our mentality. We have to learn how to detach ourselves from material items and learn how to detach ourselves from, you know, money. You know, we shouldn't have so much value on it. You know, I realize
Right.
I get it. I know we need money to survive, or we want money to live a certain type of a lifestyle. That's really what it is. It's not that we need it. We want it to maintain a certain lifestyle. You know, and I understand that. I get it. You know, I'm the same way. So I'm talking to myself as well when I say we have to learn how to detach ourselves from those things so it don't hold so much value over us. You know,
right.
I don't know if the young lady had life insurance or not, you know, but they did, thank God, be able to get a chance to raise, you know, a nice amount of money for her kids and to assist with whatever things they may have needed for a funeral, if they even needed it for a funeral. I don't know if she had life insurance or not. So that was good to see people, you know, give to the cause, because it is a tragic thing. And these types of things, our emotions is what unite us, you know, but we don't use our emotions to unite us. We use our emotions to divide us. But clearly when we have issues like this, our emotions is what bring us together, you know. So that, to me, lets me know that if we can just learn how to recognize and include everybody, then we won't have to be having these types of talks. You know, if he could feel her as him and feel her kids as him, he wouldn't have shot her.
Right.
We have a disconnection when it comes to one another. You know, we don't, we just see ourselves.
We have a self-hate.
We do it.
Yeah, I definitely think we have a self-hate.
Yeah, we do. And that's another thing, too, I was going to also say, even like with some of the men, like you was mentioning, somebody had mentioned, you know, fathers stepping up. I think a lot of times fathers that can be absent are really, a lot of times are probably bitter because they didn't have it. And they figure, if I ain't have it, shoot, I don't have to be there, you know, for my kid. He'll be okay. Or he'll, you know, mm-hmm. I think a lot of times, too, I think that's another issue and a problem that we have with absent fathers. You know, some of them are bitter because they didn't have it.
Yeah, let me add this too, because I ran into, you know, I be running into fathers when I take my kids on field trips and this and that. And I was talking to a brother, and he said something that was profound. It was kind of the opposite of what you're saying. He was like, you know, my father wasn't there, so I'm gonna make sure that I be there for my kids, which I think is the right mentality to have. Like,
yeah,
even if your father wasn't there, you know how that felt, and you shouldn't want your child to experience that, you know, lack of love from a father or whatever. So, but yeah, if you're just joining us, this is Collective Minds Radio. We sitting here chopping it up. We building on the Portia Owens murder and just murders in general. And hopefully, you know, we can offer some solutions and construct a conversation for the family and for people to move forward and, you know, try to improve the quality of life for our community as a whole. You know, that goes for mentality, the way we think, and also the way we act. So this Collective Minds, give us a call if you want to chime in, if you got any solutions. The number is 929-477-1697. So, yeah, I'm with you. So now let me ask y'all this. So do you think, how do I phrase this question? Because we was talking about the car, and I kind of get what Tommy's saying, but then as far as her having that particular type of car, kind of, sort of, but then I'm like, it's a shame that we cannot have nice things in our community. So is that mm-hmm. because our communities are deprived and we fighting for the limited amount of resources in the community that – because, you know, if you have nice things on the block, quote-unquote, or in the hood, you are kind of a target. So
So why do y'all think that is? Your house could be broken into, or as we've seen in this case, somebody could try to steal your car if you got rims and a nice car. Like, what do y'all think that comes from?
Yeah, that's why I threw that out there about the self-hate, because that's where it starts at. Because if you had love for your people, you know what I'm saying? When you love your family, you want to see them do the best. You want to see them have the best, be the best, do the best. You want to see nothing but good things for your family.
Right, facts.
So it's definitely self-hate when you see someone doing well and got something that's nice. And rather than you saying, oh, that's tight, you know, I want to try to work hard and get me one like that. But that self-hate makes you hate on that person, and you decide to you rather take and see them without. So it definitely goes back in to self-hate. You know, like I said, she should have been able to drive. If she wanted to have a Bentley, and I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah.
Okay, we all know that, hey, okay, you should want your house to be better than your car. Okay, cool, I get all that. But at the same time, if you're in the neighborhood and you want you a Bentley, you should be able to have
you
one without worried about some fool coming
that's
up in it. Because let's just say in the hood, let's say she, whoever, you know, got a big, nice house. All they do is attract patrons to your house. They want to come in and break into your house. So I didn't even want to mention Tommy's stupid comments. You know what I'm saying? Because he's just a fool and an idiot. But I guess I am kind of glad you did bring it up, Roger, because, you know, people who may have listened to that need to get an understanding from the other side that what them comments he made was very dumb and ignorant and very immature. You know, he was on there saying how, look at that house. She shouldn't have had a car like that in a neighborhood or a house like that. But like I said, if she wanted a car like that and she worked hard to get it, she should be able to have or be able to enjoy whatever she wanted to with her money. Without you hating or the fool who tried to take her for hating. Tommy, you just as bad as the dude that tried to carjack her. Because you hating because she got it. That's the self-hate in you that's coming out. You have a lack of love for yourself and your people. And it came out with just that ignorant statement you had. Then not only did the brother, I ain't even going to call him that, not only did this fool have something bad to say about her car, but he also was upset because, you know, it's a GoFundMe set up for her in her mother's name, and he had a problem with that, saying that at that time, I think the GoFundMe was close to about $200,000. And he was basically bashing it, saying that, you know, here it is, I'm an entertainer, I make videos entertaining y'all, I could barely get $6,000 on my GoFundMe, but this woman can get
$200,000.
You mad at that? Hate. That is
right.
Self-hate.
He mad
that's
about
self-hate.
That.
Just pouring out. And that right there, that is the big problem with our community. Self-hate. You know what I'm saying? If that woman wanted to have a car like that, and she worked hard for a week, the neighborhood should have been congratulated. People in there, maybe that 18-year-old dude could have came up and said, hey, you know, excuse me, Miss Lady, I don't know your name, but I'm such and such, welcome to the neighborhood. I just want to let you know you had a nice car. And, you know, shoot, maybe one day you give me a ride in or something. You know what I'm saying? Maybe people could have came and congratulated her on her success and on her car. Hey, you know, maybe she'd have been nice enough to let you roll with her one day. But that's how we should be to each other. We should love and big each other up instead of hating on each other for our success. So the self-hate has got to be.
Facts.
We got to work on that. We got to work on the self-hate and learn to love each other.
Facts.
Right. That's an actual fact, man, because like you say, she should be able to drive, have whatever type of car she wants. Like, that should not cost her life. You know what I'm saying? You can talk about where she should have had a house, this and that, or whatever, but no.
And we don't even know.
No excuse for that.
and he just going on the outside of how the house looked on. You don't know how the house looked on the inside. Just
right.
Because it was a small home. I mean, look, brother, everybody can't have a big mansion in the, you know, like you got in Arizona.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Everybody can't do all. You know,
yeah,
so hey,
she would. Yeah, she could have upgraded later. She was 28. It could have been her first little home, and she was, you know, could have upgraded later. But like I said,
at least she had a home.
The focus. Yeah, at least she had a home. The focus is really on the young man that did the murder. Like, it's pretty much on him, and I think that it speaks to what Roger said about materialism, because
mm-hmm.
we value these material things over each other's lives. And then what be killing me is you robbing somebody in your neighborhood, so that means economically, in the whole scheme of things, they really not much better than you if y'all living in the same neighborhood. Why don't you go rob somebody who got millions? That way it'll make more sense. You know what I'm saying? I'm not advocating robbing or nothing, but I'm saying if we're in our communities, why are we robbing people within the same economic status as us? That's
because
not
we're
a
hater.
See, that's not a come up. You robbing other poor people. You robbing other people within the same economic status as you, which don't make no sense. You know, that just doesn't make any sense.
So we gotta
get past that materialism and stop letting that stuff rule our lives and thinking this stuff is worth more than someone's life. You know, but we live in a culture, unfortunately, we live in a culture to where the value, success is valued upon who can make the most money. That's what they've sold us as far as what life is all about. The person who makes the most money, who has the biggest house, who has the nicest car, that's the person who wins, quote unquote, this game of life or success. And I think we got to reevaluate our value system and what we hold dear and, you know, what we hold to be important in our lives, because like I say, we've been sold on materialism. And if you think money and material stuff is the end all be all, you'll do anything for money. You'll sell your brother out, you'll sell your mother out, your sister, you'll do all these devious things just for money because you're trying to get the bag, quote unquote. And not realizing, you know, that there's consequences and there's other things that are more valuable than material stuff. It's like you say, you're doing a carjacking, but you're not going to be able to get too far with the car. Like, what are you going to do? Now, I don't think he knows a shot where he can go and break it down and sell all these parts and do this and that. He killed that basically for a joyride. Crazy like that. So, it's crazy.
I want to throw this out, too, because, you know, it's on my mind when I was talking about this. The self-hate keep popping up in my mind. You know, thinking about the music that some of our young kids listen to, they always talk about how easy it is to shoot another black person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that devalues black life.
This is fact.
You see what I'm saying? So you looking at the value of the car is more important than black life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I say, we constantly putting out bad energy and self-hate into our spirits. You know, our kids are listening to this music. It's constantly talking about how, you know, of shooting and killing another brother or sister. So it devalues their lives.
Yeah.
We got
to
get...
At the end of the day, we have to shift our mind. At some point, in order for this to work, we're going to have to transform.
Right.
And what I mean by transform, I know some we kind of touched base on this before what I'm going to say, and I know we was totally at a disagreement here, but I'm going to try to be a little more clear, not just so you guys can agree with me, but just so I can make myself a little more clear in what I'm actually saying. When I say transform, that means nothing of the past is here. we're totally different. We're new. We're fresh. Versus just changing. You know, when you change, you just change. You're doing things a little differently, but the old still remains. And I think it really, really takes a new transformation for us to do things differently. And I'm talking about not just our community, but just people in general. All the United States, all this, the system that we're talking about, the reason that it's still going the way it's going because there's no transformation. The slate haven't been wiped away, clean. We need a fresh start. And what happens with our past when we hold on to it and we cling on to it, it prevents us from being as powerful as we can be because we're holding on to something when we can actually be fresh. The only thing that I'm not saying that history is not important. I said that to you guys before. History is extremely important. We can learn from history. I do realize that, you know, but what we learn from it is how to be a great engineer or how to be of something. That's the things that we learn and we bring back from history. But to learn how to be life itself, I don't need history to teach me how to. I'm one individual life. I'm just sufficient. I'm sufficient. We all are, just as we are. I don't have to be taught or learn how to be a life. We are one cosmos, and we are just one complete life. But if we keep trying to hold back on this and that and bring everything to the future with us, I think things need to be transformed at some point where we can do things differently, you know. And at some point, I think we just have to change our mentality where we don't have to worry about material items. You know, it keeps us in bondage. A certain type of lifestyle that everybody wants to try to live. It keeps us in bondage, you know.
How would you transform? I was gonna say, how would you transform this young man here who did this? What would be the strategy to transform him around?
Well, I can't say that without knowing him and talking to him and having an understanding of what his understanding is. I don't know what his perception and expectation out of life is. I don't know him well enough. But I think if I was to be able to talk with him and learn more about him, understand his understanding of life and things like that, I may not. I may be able to assist him in different strategies to help him transform. I may or I may not. It's not my job to reach and teach and help everybody. I may not be able to reach him. But one thing I will recommend, this just for anybody, one good base start is meditation and getting back to learning about yourself, you know. And I think we can do that from meditation. I don't think and I hate to say this because I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, but I'm going to say it anyway and just hope that y'all understand that I'm not meaning it in a bad way. He don't have to have his history to meditate. Meditation can let him, he can learn about, like I said before, his life and understand life and what it is to be life and be alive. He can learn that from this day right now, just sitting down meditating and get to know himself and understand who he is and what he is as just life, not even as a man. Those things come even after we are life. When we are being developed, we don't have a gender to even after a certain period of the development stage. So we just life in the first form. And until he, you know, I think that's just important for people to understand. People so identify with the physical, and I understand why, because our experience of life happens and we're limited to the physical body. So this, I understand why we identify with our physical form so much, and you can't help but identify with color and how tall somebody is and how somebody looks, because these are all our identities that we, you know, we limited to in this physical body. So I get it. But before I go too far, I know you guys may want to say something. Let's take a call and see if we somebody may have a question or a comment. Caller, area code 269-369. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, thanks, caller. How you doing? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, doing good. Just checking into the show. Yeah, I would have a couple of suggestions. One of the things, one of the things I think you have to do is the blanket statement of gun violence. We need to be more specific. You know, are we talking about domestic violence? Are we talking about the youth killings? Because I think that determines what type of strategy that you employ. So where is the gun violence that you're talking about? Which one are you talking about?
Well, I tell you, for sake of the conversation, brother, let's say both. Let's say both. You can give us a break. You can break it down for both situations.
Okay. So if you let's just say we're talking about the black on black violence with the young men. One of the things we probably have to do, well, the first thing we have to do is that happening in most cities, or if it was in isolated cities, Chicago, so then we can look at why isn't it happening in smaller cities? They listen to the same rap music. You see what I'm saying? So this is really, we have to get into this to see what it is. Now, I would suggest one thing. I guarantee you, in those bigger cities with the gun violence with the young men, 90% of them don't know who their damn daddy is. That may sound simple, but what if that's a pattern? What if it's a pattern that, hell, we don't know where their daddies are? So then that tells you, that's one place you would need to start within that community, happening there. So
right.
I don't think it's as simple as we're going to pray it away or...
You kind of breaking up, Carla. We losing you a little bit.
Yeah, so I said, it ain't going to be as simple as we're going to pray it away or we're going to ban rap music or things of that. I think we have to be more strategic and more specific in what it is that we're trying to eradicate.
Indeed. You kind of break up, Carla. We lose
you. Yeah, you might, Carla, you might have to hang up and call back in because we can't hear you.
Okay, I'll try that.
All right, we appreciate you. Please call back.
Appreciate the call. All right, this Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We are discussing gun violence, and it is a broad topic. We like I said, we can deal with domestic violence. We can deal with the violence from the youth. I was speaking more specifically to this particular case and just to young black males in general or young black people in general. As far as the gun violence, so that's kind of where my mind was. But please give us a call again. It's Collective Minds, Brother Kev, Roger Starr, and Mufasa Rod. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. This is Collective Minds. Mufasa Rod, no, I'm going to throw the question that you asked Roger Starr back at you. If you had opportunity to talk to this young man after all this has happened, what would you say to him?
First, I'd go off on him like I was his daddy. And I would just have to, I just had to be real and blast him and ask him how stupid, and let him know how stupid his decision was. You know, I'm going to come at him like a man, not like his mama. And I'm going to blast him and let him know you made a dumb decision. That was real ignorant and stupid what you did. And it's like how we talking now about the self-hate. I will run all that down to him about you should want to love your fellow man and not have that hatred to take from your fellow man. So I have to hit him that way first. And then after I tear him down, then I'll try to build him back up and let him know that you made a dumb mistake, you made a dumb decision, but you ain't dead. So
right.
You do have the rest of your days to try to make amends for what you've
there
done,
you
for the dumb decision that you made, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in short,
That's right.
I would definitely have to tear him down and then build him back up.
That's right. Indeed, I agree. Couldn't have said that better. Roger Starr, I do understand exactly what you're saying as far as we need to tap into ourselves. And, you know, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, knowledge of self, you know what I'm saying? Know thyself, then you know God. So, you know, I agree with the meditation and everything, but the brother will still have to be taught these different concepts and these different, different ways of being a person, of being life. You know, someone still has to teach that brother that, or he has to do the reading and do the knowledge himself. You know what I'm saying? So it's not as easy as telling
the
brother
to
meditate. There's different techniques to meditate. You can't just tell somebody to meditate. They may not even know
what I was clear about in the beginning when I first started speaking is that I will first have to know him I will have to know a little bit more to just really say what. But yeah, meditation. There are different levels and methods of meditation, but still, the mere fact of just meditating though is not a bad start. And from my understanding is with meditation and from my experience with meditation, you learn a lot in meditation, more so than what any book can teach you. Meditation
right.
will give you more information than the books that we have on any bookshelf, because the information in the books is just nothing. It stems from a form of meditation from other people that just wrote it down. So just think about the things that wasn't the things that's not written down, the things that is hard to explain. Like I said before, to try to explain something that's beyond physical with physical words is impossible to do. So books, and let me say this again, I'm not saying we don't need books. Books are fine. I have no problem with them. I understand the tools that they are and how they can be used. But when they're over-energized and we think this is the only way, I think I'm just saying books in general. I'm just saying all books. Books in general, all books.
So you're saying we should get rid of... So you're saying books are unnecessary?
I didn't say that. I made myself very clear when I said books are a tool, and I understand that we use them in a certain way and for certain things. But the problem becomes when they're over-energized and we think this is the only answer. And that's the case.
I'm not attacking what you're saying. I'm asking questions. I'm just trying to get.
Understand.
Yeah, I'm just
understand,
trying
understand
to understand where
saying.
You're coming from about the, you know, the book issue. Is it a particular type of book you're talking about, or?
I'm just talking about books in general. Mainly.
Okay.
Our intellect. Our intellect is really the top part of what I'm talking about. Books stem from that. Books is a consequence to our intellect. So
right.
I'm saying
go ahead. I didn't want to cut you off. Go ahead, finish your thought, and then I'll chime in.
Yeah, I was just going to just reiterate that I just think that when it becomes over-energized, that creates a problem when we think this is the only way. We have, like, for instance, we have four parts of our mind, but when we only over-energize one part and neglect the other three, it don't give us the balance that we need. And we think we try to do everything and over energize just one part of our brain, intellect, reading, books, writing. And we think this is what's going to take us and help us. And it doesn't. We need a balance. You know, we need to learn how to balance. And I'm just using that one particular thing, Mufasa, as an example of what I'm really meaning is that we don't want to over energize anything. We have to learn how to have a balance. And meditation,
right.
it helps give us that balance because that's how we learn. We try to learn about our life from the outside, from the outward side of what using our five senses, what we see, what we hear. We cannot learn about life from the outside. And books, and the reason why I brought books up because we discussed history before, and books is a form of our history and things like that. I'm not saying to get rid of them. I love them. It is a tool. It's a great tool that we should use, but we have to know how to use it, how to apply it.
Right, right. Then, yeah, I agree. Now, I agree with everything you said. I'm just going to add on because one thing that's always said that I think is true is our people suffer from a lack of knowledge. So while books are not the end-all, be-all, and we do need balance, they are a start to pull yourself up and to get an understanding, because we got to look at it like this. We live in an intellectual world, unfortunately, and intellect is the lowest form of understanding. So I'm right with you on that one, Roger. Intellect is the lowest form if you compare it to, like, intuition or ESP or just, you know, the spirit talking to you. Those are higher forms of understanding. However, the books lead to that type of development because we've been taught from a young age to intellectualize everything and use our minds and left brain this and right brain that, and we're using our minds so much. And then I'll take it one step further, because in the black community, we've been dumbed down even lower than an intellectual level. You see, we're not analytical people as a group. You know, we don't analyze things. We don't question. We don't do a lot of these things. So I think books are a good tool to get us up to that level to where we don't need books and we can meditate and feel the spirit and, you know, use our intuition and our heart to guide us. But I think the books help us in that way because we're below, you know, as a group, we're not intellectual people. We don't read. And I think personally that's part of the problem, because you can find different things in books and it gets different things turning in your mind as far as your imagination and things like that going when you do read, because you have to look at the words on the page and then formulate that information in your head, as opposed to watching TV and everything is just right there. And, you know, we the people, we love TV, which is why we caught up in this matrix, because we love TV. We watch more TV than anybody, and we love music. And since our music has been co-opted to basically self-hate and self-destruction of our communities, these are the things that have us entangled and caught up in this, you know, this physical reality. I think the books are necessary to get us to a point, but like you said, we don't necessarily need the books. We need the balance. But since we're so far down intellectually based on the society and how we've been taught, we need something to pull ourselves up. You see,
well, let me ask this
sense.
Too,
because
I'm not saying, and that's why I was saying I want to be clear, I'm not saying that books are not necessary. I'm not saying that they're not necessary. There's a need for them, you know. But I'm saying, I think I separate that, though. I separate that from more of a spiritual side. You know, I can't get around the fact that we're in this physical form. So, of course, you know, I have to, you know, I just have to be real and say we're physical. So, yeah, we, you know, there's a need for it, but we just have to understand that it's a tool and how to use it and when to use it. You know, with our And the reason that I was saying that is because when you're talking about the gun violence, it goes back to me as how we treat people, how we treat one another. And if we was to go back into history and try to learn how to treat one another, how to treat each other from our history or from our past or from what's in the books or from anything physical, it's not going to happen. It's not going to take us there. We're going to keep repeating the things because these are the things that's still in history. So have to get to a point.
I would just have to disagree because I think we can learn from history. I think the problem that we're having and we're seeing, we're repeating the same cycles because we don't know history. You know, that would be my argument because we've seen this gun violence. Like, I just read the stats from the 70s. But the simple fact that we don't know that the CIA and these different government organizations are putting guns and drugs into our neighborhood so we can kill each other, then we're going to repeat the same thing. We just think it's about getting a bag, and I'm an individual, and I need to get this money. But we don't understand that there's a plan at play, and this plan has been at play at least for the last 50, 60 years, maybe 70.
Brother Kevin, you see what I'm saying? I understand what you're saying, but here's where we part ways in. Because I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm not saying I disagree. I think you're right, and I understand what you're saying. But here's my other side of that.
Okay.
I just cannot believe that a person, and we ain't even have to use this Ms. Owen situation, but just any situation similar to this where somebody is shooting somebody for something, that don't have nothing to do with them knowing that the government put these guns here for you to do that. Even if they knew that, even if you told them that, they would still go out and shoot somebody because it's more than just what is in their head that they know. It's what's in their spirit that they're missing. They still, if their spirit is still feeling like, I need this, I want this, they're going to discount everything that's in their head. They're going to talk themselves out of why, shoot, my father left me, or somebody shot my father right in my face. They're going to justify. They're going to take the information that they have in their head, reconstruct it, and justify it, and give them a reason why, because in their heart, in their spirit, they want it.
Right. So, you know what? She made a good point. And I just want to say this. I'm going to get back out the way of the gunfire here. But I just wanted to say, I look at it like both are needed. You know what I'm saying? I see both sides of this. Learning the history that Brother Kev saying and learning the spiritualness, both are needed.
I agree. And I agree. That's what I was saying. That's why I was like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm saying it's unnecessary because it is a place for it. It's a tool.
Yeah.
And we need to know how to use it and when to use it and understand it.
Right.
Use the tool incorrectly.
Right. Now, Mufasa, because we can't attest to this, the Nation of Islam actually raises brothers and sisters up. See what I'm saying? From a state like Tanya's talking, Elijah starts talking, from a state like that where they just, you know, just doing all type of deviant behavior. So what are some of the techniques that they use to raise people up?
Yeah, right.
One technique is, and I thought this is that, Sister Roger. One technique is teaching young men about Islam. Not even the history, but Islam itself, which is a historical, you know, I mean, that's been taught throughout history. It's not nothing new.
Right.
So, I mean, if you want to word like that, that's cool. But that is a form of meditation and knowing yourself. You know, Islam, I self, Lord, and Master. You know what I'm saying? So all that ties in it's too long for me. My answer will be too long, so I'm trying to make it short. But the nation breaks down ways of meditation, learning yourself, metaphysics, learning who you are, having a love for self, teaching you, and also teaching you a history of where you come from, why things are the way they are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that you learn that, yes, there is an enemy, but the enemy is not your brother and sister. You know what I'm saying? So that's a history that some people do not know. You know what I'm saying? So you do need to know that history, and you do need to learn that spirituality, because they go hand in hand in rebuilding and reprogramming a person. Because, you know, there's plenty of brothers who learned about the Nation of Islam in prison.
This is fact.
Not everyone. Right. Some was born into the Nation. But some were in prison and got converted over because they had done, you know, some devilish deeds. But because of the principles of the Nation building down and tearing them down and teaching them their history and teaching them how to pray and study, all that stuff goes hand in hand to rebuild a man or a woman up.
Right.
And transform their life.
This is a fact, because if you don't have a correct and solid foundation of history, then you don't really see a future, and your present is messed up, if that makes sense. So you got to have a solid foundation, even though we know history can be just lies agreed upon because none of us was there, but that's not important whether it's true or not, believe it or not. That's not even important. What's important is that you see yourself in a better light and overcoming certain circumstances, and you're learning from the particulars of history. You know what I'm saying? That's what really matters, because it sets your foundation for you to see the future.
To the show.
You know, for you to see the future. And
Hello?
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Be back. I don't either. But indeed, this Collective Minds Radio, y'all, we are discussing solutions to gun violence, any type of violence that's in our community, basically perpetrated against each other. You know, Brother Mufasa brought up some great points as far as self-hate. Rigel Starr brought up some great points as far as our mind and materialism. I think it's a combination of all those, and we can probably add some more things to that. So, you know, we do want to just offer some solutions and just try to figure out what's going on. I think a big part of it is our mindset and the way we view the world, the way we view ourselves. That is definitely an important part. So just for me, I would just offer some solutions, like study Elijah Muhammad, study Farrakhan, study some of these elders, John Henry Clark, who else, Dr. Ben Joe Conan, like study some of these
Marcus Garvey,
like it's a long list of elders who have laid down work. They have literature, they have videos, documentaries on them. We need to get our minds right, because, like I said, our minds have been infiltrated by others who don't have our best interest in mind, and they've taught us, basically like Malcolm said, who taught you to hate yourself? You know, so we got to examine that question, and we got to study these elders that and the work that they left for us to raise ourselves back up.
Yeah, because it's also important, and I get where Roger's coming from, but it is important to understand the history, because, like, if you just take a person from, like, right now, and you just teach them basically the meditation or the spiritualness, they may have a cold calmness about themselves. But you get out here in this world and don't realize, you know, the next person might not have that same calmness or spiritualness, you know, might not be practicing it. So you got to know that even when you get in that calm state of where you need to be and you loving life, but also you need to be aware of the type of people and entities that's out here that, I mean, I have to say this like this, they spirit ain't like yours.
So you got to know who you should be aware, who you should be leery of aligning yourself up with.
And as you get better, you can tell, you know, different spirits and different, you know, the spirit will just tell you, no, I'll stay away from that person. It may lead you down the wrong path, and you know, watch out for them, watch out for that. And it comes from, you know, being in tune, being aware, and, you know, study. Like, I don't know what else to say. Study and...
study and meditate.
Yeah, study and meditate. So study, meditation, prayers, mantras, all that stuff helps in the development of oneself, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. Like I say, knowledge of the self. Know thyself, know God. There's no other way to put it, you know. Even
and love, and learn how to love.
Love. That's a big part. Love.
Because what we was taught, what we've been taught, you know, as followers of Elijah Muhammad, is when you love, that's when God is present.
That's a fact.
When you don't love, God ain't present when there is no love. But when there's love, God is present.
That's a fact.
So learn to love yourself and learn to love other people. And once we learn how to do that, God will be present.
That's a fact.
Can y'all, do y'all think we learn how to love from our history? That's just a curiosity that I want to.
Well,
I think
that's,
we can learn how to love from our history.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why from my standpoint, because there was a time where the only history I knew about was slavery. And that was, that didn't teach me nothing about love. But
that's
when I researched farther back in history and I started seeing that there were people that looked like me that weren't always slaves and had their own civilizations and brought, you know, things to the world, contributed good things to the world, then, yeah, I did learn to love myself and my people.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I had a greater respect for people that look like me. At first, I just thought we was just broken down, beat up, dumb slaves. So history, I had to go deep in history and realize, it's people that look like me that, you know, fathered this whole planet, the mothers and fathers of the civilization.
This is fact. And that, that creates the love for yourself. So I agree with that, and I would say, yes, history does play a part in that, because the thing about love is, and people say, you have to love yourself first in order for other people to even love you. And that's a fact. You have to love yourself first. So what history does, like Mufasa said, once you start learning true history and raising yourself up, that gives you a certain type of foundation and confidence to love yourself and then in turn love your people, because you see how great, you know, you see people that look like you and from your same family tree that have done great things and accomplished great things, helped humanity, so on and so forth. So that sets a particular self-esteem and self-worth within you.
There you go.
So
exactly.
Then you start looking at other people. Okay, these people also worth something. They just may not know it, but they're just as worthy of life and love just like everybody else. So I think history sets that foundation. And without that, you would just be thinking, you just a slave, they were slaves, we were savages, then we brought over here, so it don't matter. We can just, you know, kill everybody. It don't matter. Life don't matter. I was just a slave.
Let me say this real fast. You'd be surprised at how many people who don't research the history of black people, that just see menace to society or watch the news and see our actions on, you know, on TV or whatnot, and see the bad, and they form an opinion about us. They form an opinion of not to love us because they look at it like we don't love anything.
Yeah.
And that's because they don't do the research of our history and know that, no, we wasn't, that's not all us. We're so much more than that.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So why do you guys think that, I'm using myself as an example, why do you think that I love myself and I have a great amount of respect for my people and my community? I'm not out here killing any black people. I don't hate them. I love us. And I don't do an extensive amount of research on our history. I never have.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you guys think that come from?
You want to go first, Brother K?
Yeah, I'll just break it real quick. I just think you just may be in tuned on a certain different spiritual level than most people. You know, and it doesn't, like, it's not that easy for most people. Like, you have to, you have to just set some foundation. So I would just say you're more spiritually in tune and connected than maybe most people. And then I, you know, let Mufasa go.
Hey, you said it all right there. I mean, we are each individual is at the end of the day our own universe. And, luckily, thank God that you on a higher spiritual plane, your universe is in tune, like Brother Kev say, but it's a lot of people who are not like that. They're not in tune.
Remember,
and sometimes they may have to get taught some ways and some history in order to get in tune.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's
remember,
what I'm saying. I do see it as a tool that is used, you know, for certain times, certain reasons. But I think we have to. And a lot of times, we don't understand the tools. We don't understand what a tool is, how to use it. We just see some, or we know some. We using it, and we don't understand how and when to apply it. It's almost like stitching with a knife. You know, you can't stitch with a knife. But let's take a call. Let's try to take another caller before we have to get offline here. Let's go. We'll call 314-381. Caller, do you have a question or comment?
Boy, I see you guys at it again. You don't
never
give up.
At it again. Yes, sir.
You'll never give up.
Never give
thanks
up.
Thanks for calling in, caller.
Yep,
but
thanks for the call.
But the answer to the solution, legalize these street drugs.
Nah, I agree with that. I'm with you on that. I mean,
let's get to the heart of a lot of these problems. It's economics. Mm-hmm. People are seeking a fast buck and a lucrative buck at that. You know, something that started off at $2.20 a kilo in Peru, when it hits the streets of your major cities, Baltimore, Chicago, St. Louis, is going for $90,000, $95,000 a kilo. That's a lot of money.
Yes, sir.
So, now legalize the street drugs, open dispensaries where sick addicts can go and get their drug of choice, right quality, safe quality, right quantity. They can sit there and be monitored once they got their fix. And if they want to sign up for treatment, well, they can sign up for treatment. Between $2.20 and $90,000, there's a lot of room to provide taxes and all sorts of ways to fund to help people alleviate these problems. So, and also, look what it does. If you legalize street drugs, it removes the violence associated with street sales and distribution. Kids don't have to worry about getting shot, caught up in crossfire from people trying to gain turf and all that crap. I ain't never seen nobody on Page and King's Highway shooting at each other over a bottle of Jack Daniels. I just ain't seen it.
There you go. All right. I'm kind of in agreement with that. I mean, I know we may differ on the line as far as the host, but I'm
I got to disagree with you. I grew up in the hoodie hood, and I done seen some cats get their head bust wide open for a fit.
That was some odd case. But you know another thing, too? How about when police take your money because they think you're dealing in drugs? How about these no-knock, pre-dawn, breaking your house, people getting shot up, dogs getting killed because they think they at a drug house, they at the wrong house? So it's all that kind of interventions with DEA and AFT and all. You need that to go well. Legalize them street drugs. Do a little at a time. And that's
let me ask you this, caller, because I don't know if you was listening earlier. We touched in
to what happened with the young lady, Portia Owens, that got carjacked. If you had an opportunity to speak right now to that 18-year-old young man who took her life, what would you say to him?
I say, you getting ready to do some hard time, man. And he took her gun, right?
Yeah, he had his and he took hers.
Yeah, my daughter just called me and told me she wants me to take her to do some advanced shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Just came home from Dominican Republic and heard that.
Oh, wow.
No, he's in some trouble. And just like this carjacking that went on downtown where the guy got ran over, need to have more citizens that's caring. Because if you got more citizens, I think they need to have citizens on patrol with open carry of AR-15s. I mean, that's just what.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to Africa? You ever been? Any of y'all ever been to Africa?
Right.
Yes,
one of us
have.
That's what you.
Yeah, I
have. Am I right?
Yeah, I've been over there.
Don't
yeah,
they be carrying them weapons? Don't they be carrying them automatic weapons?
Oh, yes. Yes, they do. They have them everywhere, all on their backs. And I don't know the names of the weapons that I was looking at, but that is true. That is something that I was like, wow. They carry. They,
mm-hmm.
they have, like, big guns, like the kind that go across your back. I see a lot.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
I see a lot of them. I was surprised.
Now, can I say something, talk about something else real quick? Y'all don't mind. Let me talk about kids. These illegal kids. Blacks need to get off this stuff and have sympathy for these kids, man. Because, look, they always use kids for some agenda.
Mm-hmm.
They had kids in the Montgomery bus boycott, black kids in the Children's March when they were using water holes and dogs on them. Look at the fight between Palestine and Israel. They always show pictures of a kid shot up, laying on the floor all covered up in blood and everything. They need to stop using these. You know, any mother that would take their child, drag their child along with them as they go out and commit a crime, well, you have to ask, what the hell is the accountability with them? And here's another point. See, I like what Trump is doing. See, those three countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, they are called the Northern Triangle. And this is supposed to be where these kids are coming from. But look at this. United States gave Guatemala $267 million in 2016 to fight their problem. That's when Obama was in there. You know what Trump did? He cut it down to $34 million. El Salvador, $75 million to solve those problems. Trump cut it down to $3.9 million. Panama, $25 million under Trump. Under Trump is $1.1 million. So, Trump is doing the right thing because they've been Honduras. They gave $128 million. Trump cut it down to $13 million. These presidents and these officials in these countries is pissed off because they ain't getting that money no more. Look how long they've been getting that money to solve this problem. They just squandered and corrupt, stealing the money.
Yeah, remember you talked about that cocaine coming up. That's the particular route that it comes up through. It comes up through Central America and makes its way through Mexico into the United States. So that is a major route for drugs coming into this country, you know, not to mention the Caribbean and other routes. But, yeah, those are major routes as far as
And let me tell you this. So this is what they need to do. Trump and them need to set up a office in Panama City, Panama, and let people coming out of – see, Panama City is below the Northern Triangle. Let them go down to Panama and fill out the forms to seek their asylum. And wait there in Panama. Wait in Belize. Belize is Panama. They speak the same language. They more culture conducive. They eat the same food. Why do we want to bring all these people up here in America and we got to take care of all these kids for all these years that they're going to be waiting for their case to be heard? Let them stay in Panama.
Well, you know,
let
we,
them come to pay for it.
We might have to touch on that one next week. Because I want to ask you this, too, to tie back into today's topic. What do you think Trump needs to do to help then with the inner violence, with the gun violence in the inner cities?
Well, it ain't nothing. That's a local. Those local concerns. You don't want the White House messing with that. That's your local people's concerns. They have to stand up and be responsible. Local, then worse yet, at the state level. No, you don't want the White House fooling with that. They don't have no jurisdiction. They don't have jurisdiction over your police. The President of the United States has no jurisdiction over your police. The state is a sovereign state. The community is allowed to exist by way of the state constitution. And the police department is a local government agency that the people should control. And as far as, you know, they already got gun laws out there at both a state and federal level. But that's right. Up to the local community.
Yeah.
So if these state and local factions ain't handling their business, should at some point the feds intercede?
No, what you should do is kick their ass out of office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we
I can roll with you on
that. I gave some stats earlier. We on pace for about 200 some murders in the St. Louis area. Possibly, which would be, you know, which would be very high since like 95. It would probably be like 95 numbers if we reach 200 and some. So I don't know what's going on. Like I say, I think people are becoming more and more aware and more conscious, but I think on the other hand, people are going back into savage ways as well. So we're going to have to find some type of balance and some type of order. You know, to
well, I think you should take the profit and take the incentive out of some of these activities. And sooner or later, you will start knocking off one at a time. Then you only be left with a few that you can deal with however it seems best to deal with. It's a lot of things involved in this. It's just not drugs, you know, as y'all was talking earlier. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a
but
lot
anyway,
of
I'm sorry to interrupt your program, but
You never interrupt, brother. We look forward to you calling in.
All right, well, I hope I do some good.
Indeed.
Most definitely.
Appreciate you. All right. Thank you. Yep.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to you.
Yep, happy
Father's
Day.
Thank you very much.
We got about 4 minutes left to the live stream, so I think this was a good, you know, constructive conversation. I think we threw a lot of ideas out there, a lot of solutions. So I'm going to let y'all have the floor. Like I say, we got about 4 minutes left. We go to Mufasa Ra, I guess, then Rigel Stark to close us out with some closing comments. So,
okay. I'll be fast. You know, to the parents of children, hey, work hard to mold your children up to love and teach them how to love and be respectful citizens. And if you need some help yourself as being a parent and learn some parenting skills, it's people out here that can help you. If you need some help from an organization that I'm familiar with, look out, reach out to your local NOI Mosque and learn some of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to help you and your family learn how to be a family. So that'd be my suggestion, one of them.
There you go. Right to start.
Yeah, ditto, Mufasa. Yeah, I mean, basically, like Mufasa just said, we have to learn how to, you know, fix ourselves so that way we can be good parents and help raise our students or our children, however you want to call them, you know, to also be stand-up citizens. You know, we not just in this world alone. And we have to recognize that. We have to feel that. We can't just see it and know it. It has to be an experience for us. We have to experience that we are in this world with other people, you know, and we supposed to work together. You know, we should love one another. There's no reason for us to be shooting somebody, especially when if we just isolate the black community in itself, because we have too many other struggles and challenges,
exactly.
And it shouldn't be us killing ourselves. We supposed to at least come together to try to fight and overcome the bigger issue that's affecting us, the issues in the system that have us in this situation where we may be lacking resources. You know, we should at least come together to try to, you know, overcome that, you know.
Yeah.
But I think in order to do that, though, we do have to have the right mentality. So I do agree with Mufasa. You know, if you have struggles with being a good parent or if you just want to do better, you know, reach out. You know, just reach out. You can call us. We'll do what we can to try to help and assist and try to connect you with different resources.
But
you have to learn how to do better and just be better people, so that way we can grow and we don't have to keep going through senseless things like this. There's no way in the world you should have to worry about getting shot over a car.
Exactly.
That's just like ridiculous.
Shot
over
is.
Anything,
yeah.
Let alone some
shot
material
over.
Stuff.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better. Collective Minds Radio. That was Rigel Starr, Brother Mufasa Ra, I'm Brother Kev. Please join us next week. Thank you to all the callers. Thank you to all the supporters. We appreciate y'all, and we will see y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.